If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
You're listening to the Quince Podcast.
On the long-standing question of criminalizing marital rape, the Delhi High Court on 11th May delivered a split verdict in a batch of petitions challenging the exception provided to marital rape in the Indian Penal Code. In the two-judge bench, Justice Rajiv Shakder held that Exception 2 under Section 375, which says that any sexual acts by a husband with his wife are not rape, is unconstitutional, while Justice C. Harishankar held that the provision is valid and that it holds no ground for the court to strike down the exception. While this section has undergone a series of amendments over the years where it emphasizes the importance of consent, this pre-colonial exception of marital rape has continued to tag along into the 21st century. Essentially, this exception allows marital rights to a husband who can, with legal sanction, exercise his right to consensual or non-consensual sex with his wife. But what does this split verdict mean for the conversation of marital rape? What happens next and where does this case go from here? To understand this verdict and its significance, I'm joined today by the Quince legal editor Vakasha Sasdev and Radhika Roy, an advocate based in Delhi and former associate editor at LiveLaw.
You're tuned in to The Big Story, the podcast where we dissect the headline-making news for you, and I'm your host, Imat.
In his part of the 393-page verdict, Justice C. Harishankar said that Exception 2 in the IPC Section 375, which defines rape, does not violate Article 14 and Article 21 of the Constitution on equal protection under law and the right to life and liberty. This is what he said, and I quote, "Introducing into the marital relationship the possibility of the husband being regarded as the wife's rapist if he has, on one or more occasions, sex with her without her consent would, in my view, be completely antithetical to the very institution of marriage as understood in this country, both in fact and in law," end quote. He also said that, quote, "sex between a wife and husband, whether the petitioners seek to acknowledge it or not, is sacred," end quote. And that, quote, "If the wife refuses and the husband nonetheless has sex with her, however one may disapprove, it cannot be equated with the act of ravishing by a stranger," end quote. Reacting to the verdict, advocate Radhika Roy says that the judgment is extremely disappointing and that it also signals that there may be other judges who share the same opinion.
I'll be very honest, Justice Harishankar's verdict has been incredibly disappointing, especially because as a judge, I've read a lot of his judgments and he's someone who's very stout about upholding the law as such. And he's not someone who gives very unreasonable verdicts. I initially thought when I was going through it that maybe his reasoning would be stemmed in law per se, but it's just come out to be incredibly irrational. Like the one thing that he's harped on about throughout the judgment is about how marriage is the end all and be all of a woman's existence, and especially like in society itself. And that's why just to preserve a marital union, you need to ensure that, you know, this legitimate expectation of sex is duly discharged by the woman.
Yeah.
So he's completely erased a woman's right to bodily autonomy and her right to dignity or her right to even make a choice. And did not expect that from a judge like Justice Harishankar. So very disappointing. And that too, this is a Delhi High Court. So to think that a judge at this stature has these kind of viewpoints, it kind of, you know, it goes to show that there might be a lot more judges who think along the same lines. And there's no room for progress if this is the kind of mentality which is prevalent in this day and age, at least.
She adds that even though Justice Harishankar acknowledges the fact that there has been a transformation in the interpretation of this exception, he did not go forward with it.
Constitution is transformative for a reason. Like, you cannot, when this exception came up, in fact, in the judgment itself, Justice Harishankar very categorically says that the exception was brought in by the legislature because of the differences between how a man and a woman move about in society. Like, a husband is supposed to be at a superior stature than the wife. But he himself says that this thought process has changed. And now the legislature's intention to keep this exception is that it has to preserve the marital union. So he, even though he's acknowledging the fact that, you know, fine, there has been some transformation in the interpretation of this exception, he is not going forward with it. Like, this may have been true 40, 50 years back, but at this point, I feel like he has a duty, especially with judgments like Puttuswamy, with Joseph Shine. I mean, he should have taken those into consideration and realized that, fine, things have changed. And a marital union is not everything. Like, individual rights are very important at this stage. Women's rights are very important at this stage. These are conversations. I mean, women's rights are dominating every conversation that is out there. So why would you not take that into consideration? I mean, it's just, it's preposterous, to be very honest.
However, there is something hopeful which has come out of this judgment, and that is Justice Rajiv Sachdev's part of the verdict. Justice Sachdev said that the exception in question is, quote, steeped in patriarchy and misogyny, and that, quote unquote, classification, in my opinion, is unreasonable and manifestly arbitrary, as it seems to convey that forced sex outside marriage is real rape, and that the same act within marriage is anything else but rape, end quote. He said that sexual assault by the husband needs to be called out as rape, as that, quote unquote, is one of the ways in which the society expresses its disapproval concerning the conduct of the offender. Pertinently, he said that, quote, the right to withdraw consent at any given point in time forms the core of the woman's right to life and liberty, which encompasses her right to protect her physical and mental being. Non-consensual sex destroys this core by violating what is dear to her, which is her dignity, bodily integrity, autonomy and agency, and the choice to procreate or even not to procreate, end quote. Advocate Roy hopes that Justice Sachdev's verdict may be put into account as the case moves forward, given the fact that judgments coming out of the Apex Court over the past few years have been geared towards upholding individual rights.
Over the past at least few years, the kind of judgments that are coming out from the Supreme Court, they've been geared towards upholding individual rights, and there are a lot more liberal interpretations of our constitutional rights as such, our fundamental rights. That does ignite some hope, because they know that for a fact that these are the kind of, they know for a fact that citizens themselves would not be okay with this kind of a word. The thought process of at least people around me, people in courts, I've been in the courts for the past 2 days, and the reception towards such a judgment has been quite, it's been unanimous. People are quite shocked that, you know, such a judgment could come out from the Delhi High Court itself. You could understand if it was some far off High Court, but not Delhi. So there is a bit of hope that Justice Sachdev's point of view may be followed by the Supreme Court, taking into account their previous decisions, in fact, the sedition thing as well, which happened yesterday. So that's about it. But I am still disappointed about the fact that Justice Harishankar could still think that way, because that, like I said before, that means there are other people who might be feeling the same way.
Now, both the Delhi High Court judges have agreed to grant a certificate of leave to the petitioners for appeal before the Supreme Court, saying that the matter involves substantial question of law. So, what happens next? Will this case now be heard by the Apex Court or a larger bench? For this, we go to Vakasha Sachdev, the Quint's legal editor.
So essentially, when you have a split verdict, what this basically means is that you now don't have a decision by the High Court, right? So essentially, when you have benches of the court, the idea is that they will arrive at a decision unanimously. Now, one of the reasons why a lot of the time you will see odd numbers rather than even numbers is because, you know, well, judges are allowed to disagree. So what happens when they take a differing view on matters, right? So, which is why, of course, when you have an odd number of judges on the bench, whether it's three or five, then that makes it easier to obviously get a majority and a minority view. Now, the thing is, of course, that in high courts, you will have situations when it will be two judges, what's called a division bench hearing matters, because high courts have a lot of issues. And the idea is that when you're dealing with issues where the law is technically supposed to be a bit more settled, a division bench is good enough, right? So it's where there's a risk that the law has already been previously decided, or that there is some matter of dispute, that's where you get what they call a full bench of the High Court will pick that up. Whereas when you have matters where the law appears to be reasonably settled, then you will, you know, at least in terms of what principles have to be applied, then a division bench is perfectly fine to take up the matter. But now, of course, when you come to a case like this, even though issues of privacy, of consent, you know, even if you look at the right to privacy and autonomy, have all been settled by the Supreme Court, the specific application of these principles to the marital rape exception was something which perhaps maybe should have been foreseen, could be looked at differently. I mean, there's an argument to be made that the issues were so obviously dealt with, especially when you look at the Hadia case or the right to privacy case, where you know, a person's bodily autonomy is considered, you know, so crucial. Or if you look at, you know, the Joseph Shine adultery case, which struck down adultery from the Indian Penal Code, and how it talked there about, you know, these archaic provisions which keep an antiquated, you know, idea of marriage alive need to go. I think perhaps maybe when this was being considered, the idea was that, you know, this law is fairly settled. I mean, of course, this was assigned to a division bench a long time ago. But whatever the reasoning behind not having more judges here, this matter was, is that now you've reached a position where both judges have taken an opposing point of view. You don't have a clear idea what the court's decision is. So now a third judge has to get involved. The process for this is that, you know, once there's a difference of opinion, the Chief Justice of the relevant High Court, in this case, it's acting Chief Justice Vipin Sanghi, will be looking at, will know about this issue. He'll have seen the judgments with the difference of opinion expressed by the two judges. And he will now, on the administrative side, have to appoint a third judge to hear the matter. Now, this process could take a bit of time. The most recent, you know, there was a high profile example of this was back in 2018. There was a split in the Madras High Court. There was a whole argument there over whether or not the, you know, certain, there was a disqualification of certain MLAs by the Speaker of the House. And at that point, a two-judge bench had taken, you know, opposing views on the legality of the Speaker's decision. The third judge took a few months to arrive at the decision, ended up siding with Justice Indira Banerjee. She was at that time the Chief Justice of the Madras High Court. She's currently a Supreme Court judge. The third judge ended up siding with her, holding that the disqualification was perfectly acceptable. There was nothing wrong with it. It was in compliance with the 10th schedule. And as a result, that then became the Madras High Court's decision, which of course can then be appealed, Now that's basically the status here, even when it comes to appeals. In this case, you can't directly go to the Supreme Court. There is some questions over it because both judges granted leave to appeal in their differing decisions to the Supreme Court, but that doesn't quite work. You know, I mean, you can't go directly there because there's still no decision of the court. So even though there are questions of law, it can't go up to the Supreme Court at this stage because there's no decision yet to appeal. So that's the, obviously, you know, the next step which has to be taken is that once the third judge makes a decision, then this can be appealed. And that's something we have to wait and see now, which judge gets assigned, how long they take. Now, it's not as though the whole proceedings have to be re-argued. The third judge will be able to look at all the materials submitted, look at the arguments made, the records which are maintained by the High Court itself, and use that to arrive at their decision. They can also call for any additional you know, materials which are required or clarifications on the materials already submitted, which they can then use to arrive at their decision. And once they do that, then you'll see, do they side with Justice Shafter and say that, yes, this provision is unconstitutional and needs to be struck down, or will they go with Justice Hari Shankar's view, which would allow the marital rape exception to continue at this point. And of course, while all of this is going on, at this very moment, the status quo prevails. Marital rape exception remains in force in our law. So, you know, it's I think, you know, anyone who wants to really think about this in terms of fairness, I think would have to argue that this is an absolutely egregious thing to happen. There are some things where you can quibble about legal technicalities and say things, but I think here it was something where, in fact, it was argued so clearly by the petitioners, by you know, even the amicus curiae, Rebecca John, senior advocate Rebecca John, who had given detailed submissions which actually address all of the points raised in Justice Hari Shankar's view. So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens. One obvious thing is that, you know, the finality in this will have to go up to the Supreme Court on appeal or not. There are some ways in which maybe this matter could go to the Supreme Court before a third judge hears it, which is, for instance, if it gets tagged with other matters relating to the marital rape exception there. But it remains to be seen whether that will be an option at this point or whether it will have to first be decided by a third judge and then go up on appeal for arriving at a final decision in the apex court.
you like listening to this episode, please subscribe to The Big Story for episodic updates. We're available on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, JioSaavn, and most of the other popular podcast streaming platforms. For other podcasts, please log on to the Quint website. And for any feedback, please shoot an email to podcast@thequint.com.
Thanks for listening. Log on to the Quint website and check out our other podcasts.